God's strength, His peace, His mercy be in you today and filling you through Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're continuing to look at Jonah, another theme in this book. And the theme in particular I'd like to look at is repentance. And what's it mean precisely to repent? It's very important for us because that's the foundation of changing our destinies so that instead of going to hell, we go to heaven. Instead of being having God's anger, we have His grace covering us like a beautiful rain upon the grass. So let's talk about repentance and take a look at chapter 3. It's well described here, I think, in Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then tidings even reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and removed his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published throughout Nineveh, "By decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and let them cry mightily to God. Yea, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger so that we perish not." I'll conclude there for the moment. Would you say that's a good story of repentance? Is the word repent, is it found in this passage? Well, not particularly. Doesn't occur very much, but certainly the concept of repenting occurs here. So let's just refresh ourselves. I know you understand this, but we really need to be refreshed in this all the time. What does it mean to repent? Good. I think you guys got it. It really means to repent, means to turn from one direction that you're going to another direction. It's an about face. If you're in the military, an about face. I didn't do that quite right, did I, Dick? Have you ever been to London and seen Buckingham Palace guards and they march, they bring their boots along, scraping on the gravel. They get to the end of their walk, what do? And they go off in the other direction. Nobody does pageantry like Britain. These people are amazing. But that is really what it is to repent, to turn totally from going and facing one way to going and facing the total opposite direction. If you look at the word in the Hebrew, for repent in the Old Testament is suv, which means to return or to turn about or to just turn. So you're to turn from going away from God and you're to turn towards God. Hence, we read in that prayer of Solomon a few minutes ago, you know, if the people sin against thee, and for there's no man who doesn't sin, and you're angry with them, and if they repent and make supplication to you, thee, in the land of their captors, saying, "We've sinned and acted perversely and wickedly," if they repent with all their mind and with all their hearts in the land of their enemies, then hear God in heaven their prayer and forgive their sin. So it means to acknowledge that you're in the wrong, that you're going in the wrong direction. And then you want to go in the right direction. In the New Testament, we have Luke chapter 13. Here's an interesting passage where we read that there were some present at that very time who told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They're thinking these guys perished because of how wicked they are. and they want to get approval from Jesus. Yeah, they were really wicked, weren't they? They were horrible people. Jesus turns their question around and aims it right back at them. He says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So that word in the Greek in the New Testament is metanoeo. The word for repent, it means, you know, we often think of repent as just I'm sorry or I confess my sin. It's not only that. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. It means it's a total change of your mind, a total change of your heart, a total change of the direction that you're going. It's not just like Judas. Remember, Judas was sorry that he betrayed Christ, but that wasn't a true repentance. He was just, you know, sorry that he did the wrong thing, but he didn't turn to Jesus Christ to be his Savior. He just was sorry for his sin. So it means not only being sorry for our wrongdoings, but it means to totally turn from them and say, I don't want that direction anymore. I'm heading to you, God, in your direction. Who's a good example of repentance in the Bible? Who wrote most of our Bible? Exactly, Paul. He was, God didn't change his personality when he saved him. He just took his zealous, 100% go in a direction personality that Paul had and his great education. He was going in the wrong direction, ravaging the church like a wolf, trying to gobble it up. And he maintained his zealous personality, but now it's directed, when he got saved, in a new direction. It's towards building up the church and loving Jesus Christ. So that's what it is in the Bible to repent. It's a total change of direction, not only a confession. It is your mind, your heart, and your behavior, your body, your spirit is going now towards God instead of away from him. What's the result of that? First of all, did Nineveh repent? They repented. Let's read what happens. Jonah chapter 3, last verse of that chapter. When God saw what they did, how they turned, there's that word, from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. So God repented. Does that mean that God was wrong? No, so repentance doesn't mean, you're in the wrong or whatever, although in our case it does. It just means you're turning and going in an exact opposite direction. So God was ready to go slam-o-whammo with his fist and destroy them. Repenting means he turned from that into a new direction. Namely, I'm not going to do that. You're against me, I'm against you. Now you turn to me, I'm not against you anymore. Actually, I'm going to send down rain upon you like upon the grass and make you sprout up with flowers and colors. In other words, I'm going to save you. He spared them, in other words. Let me ask you, is God always going to forgive somebody and do this for them if they truly repent and turn to God? It's not a trick question. He's going to do it. But Peter says in the Bible that this is what it's all about. God's relationship with man, basically. He says the Lord isn't slow about his promise of his coming, that is. But he's forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So God wants everybody to be saved, and indeed he wants them to just turn to me, and I'll save you. I've already accomplished what is necessary in Jesus Christ. Just turn to me, and I'll save you. Does that sound too easy? You've done murder, you've done adultery, you've done lying, you've done blasphemy, you've done all kinds of horrible things. And God only says, just turn to me and I'll pass over all these things. Turn to me and Jesus Christ. Look to him and you're going to be totally saved. Does that sound too easy to you? No. To a lot of people, it sounds too easy, but you know what? It's the truth. That's all God asks of us for salvation. It's not do 1,000 works or, climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Or swim the Atlantic Ocean. He just says, just turn in my direction and you will find me pouring over you with salvation beyond your wildest imaginations. That's all we got to do. If that's the case, then why don't people just do it? I mean, it's so easy. Salvation, you could go from going to hell and having that for an eternity. I mean, ages upon ages. And you can turn and go to heaven and have glories and joys and life forever and ever and ever. Why, if it's so easy, don't people turn? What do you think? Huh? Sin, there's a great one. People love their sin more than they love God. I was on an airplane once a number of years ago, coming back to Orlando, and I did the whole like stereotypical Billy Graham evangelism thing with the guy sitting next to me. I even took out the napkin and I drew the cliff, you know that one with the bridge is the cross, and you're here, and God's here, and Jesus has paid for your sins, so you can now be saved if you come to God. And I said, would you like to come to him right now? You can be saved right now. Nope. I was like, huh? I'm like, but don't you understand this? Yeah, I understand what you said. Don't you see that's true? Well, I see that. Well, why won't you come? He said, well, because there's a sin I have in my life right now that I love more than that. And I don't want to give it up. Because I know if I do this, I'll have to give it up. He wasn't willing to come to repentance. And so he remained unsaved. Hopefully he got saved later on. Another reason is people don't believe the warning shots that God is firing across their bow. Just like in the Navy in the old days, you're sailing up on another ship. You don't destroy them immediately with a blast right to their hull. You fire warning shots across their bow. And it splashes all in front of you, saying, if you keep heading in this direction, you're going to be sunk. Well, people don't believe the warning shots that God is giving them in Scripture. Repent, God says. Otherwise, Jesus says, you'll all likewise perish. So people don't believe that, though. They don't believe that God really means it, that it's not, they don't think it's a real threat. They think, no, God's perfectly fine with me doing all the things that I do. I can be a Freemason. I can sleep around. I can lie. I can do whatever I want to do. Because basically, you know, not only do people love sin more and they don't believe God's word, but also, thirdly, their pride keeps them from turning. Because when I preach repentance, or you do, to somebody, the thing that keeps them from it is pride. Because all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes, and nobody likes to think that they're in the wrong. You go the world around, everybody thinks that they're doing the right thing. But they're not. The Bible says that they've sinned. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Don't you find that? People all think they're going the right way, and nobody likes to hear, you're in the wrong. Turn. And so they don't turn for these reasons. God says in Jeremiah, O Lord, he says, do not thy eyes look for truth. Thou hast smitten them, but they feel no anguish. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to repent. That's so true. So what do people need if they're going to repent? They need to believe. What else? Fasting? Yeah, that goes along with repenting. Confess. But what do they need to get to repentance? The answer is before your eyes, friends. A preacher. Here I am. And you could be that preacher. They needed Jonah. Because Nineveh was sunk unless Jonah got there. And notice, Jonah didn't give him any grace. He didn't say, oh, God really loves you and everything will be fine. Please just maybe kind of think about turning. Oh, please. He just says, he didn't even want them saved. He just says, 40 days and God is going to sink your ship. And they all believed it. Because people need the law. They need the thunder. They need the lightning. Repent. Turn. Is that missing in the church today? Do we have any Jonas? Not, we do, but there's not so many as you'd think we should have. A lot of churches don't want to preach on something that's maybe a little controversial because it might divide the congregation. I don't want to bring up these sins because then I'll lose members. Well, is that the commission? The commission is be a Jonah. Speak the word, let the chips fall where they may, and if people have to leave, they got to leave. And you're better for it. Where are the Jonas today? Where's John the Baptist who preached, "Repent, you brood of vipers, you brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance." Boy, he wouldn't make it on CBS Good or whatever, Good Morning America. Where's the Peter who in his very first sermon at Pentecost ended his sermon, "You killed the Christ, the author of life." And that's amen. It's the end of the sermon. Well, then they were so pricked in heart, they had to ask, "What do we do then? We're in big trouble." He says, "Repent. Repent and come to Jesus Christ. Be baptized in him and you will receive mercy. Your sins will be washed away, and the Holy Spirit will be given you." The law has to come first, and then comes the good news of the gospel. But we don't have any Jonas, hardly, today. Where are the John the Baptist? Where is Peter? Where is Paul, who preached, "God commands all men everywhere to repent"? But happily, you're in church today. You guys know repentance. I'm almost at the end here. Is it a long road to repentance or a short road? What do you think? Could be either way. It's really short, as we said. Nineveh didn't have to go climb a mountain or sail a ship across the ocean. They just had to put on sackcloth, confess their sin, and turn to God. Easy. It was done immediately. Short road. And you guys all know it's short because when you sin, what do you do? You repent. You're like, "Oh God, I'm so sorry for the tiniest little infraction. I'm sorry. I turn to you." And God's like, "No problem. Be at peace. You've turned to me. All your sins, they're washed in Jesus Christ. Have joy. I'm with you. I'm for you. I've turned my face in your direction." But for some people, it's a very, very long road, we got to understand. Remember that prodigal son? I mean, he had to lose all of his money, all of his friends, be thrown into the swine yard, be feeding pigs, had his tummy growl, wishing he could just live as good as these pigs lived, until finally, at the very end, he reached repentance. And so reaching repentance is not such an easy thing for a lot of people. But what do they need, once again, to reach it? A Jonah, or a Peter, or a Paul. They need you, and they need me, to give them the law, the word, repent, turn. You are in the wrong, but when they turn and repent, guess what? God says, "I will now turn to you. And salvation will rain down on you like the spring after the winter. And you will sprout up in beautiful, beautiful colors. For thus it is written," said Christ, "that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance, and then the forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." The good news for you, you've all repented, I believe. You have turned to God. You've turned to Jesus Christ, and therefore I can announce to you that your sins are forgiven you. That God loves you. That you have an eternal destiny called the joys of the world to come. And since your face is directed towards God through Jesus Christ, God's face is directed towards you in mercy and love that will never be taken away from you. In Jesus' name, amen.